Thank you very much for that video.
Today I'm going to talk about, you know, Kingdom Father. And I just want to check your life. I'm going to be talking to you today from my heart, you know, off script. I'm going to be talking to you, who is the Father? What is the plan of God? Why did God create fathers? Who are you as a father? What is your purpose in life? Let's start from the, you know, the book of Genesis. We can see the story, you know, the video we just finished watching. You know, Tony Evans talked about his father, how he learned from his father when he was very, very young, the principle and the values of God. And now he's passing the same thing to his children and his children's children. So what is the purpose of God? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a father? The reason why we have chaos in the family, the reason why we have, you know, problem in the community, the reason why we have problem in the city, the reason why we have problem in the nation is because there is no father in the house. There is no what? Father in the house anymore. And that is the plan of the enemy. Let's start from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. I'm just going to go through Genesis very, very fast, and I will show you one or two things that we're just going to talk. The Bible says, in the beginning, God what? Created heaven and the earth. Verse 2 says that the earth was without what? Form and what? And void. Or the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was all over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was what? Hovering over the what? The waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was what? There was light. Verse 4. And God said, God saw what the light, and God saw the light, and the light was what? Was good. Praise God. So we can see from the beginning. Now we talk, the Bible talks about the Trinity. The Bible says there are three that bear records in heaven: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Why? Why? God had to talk about three personalities. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Why do we say God of Isaac, Jacob, and what? God is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, Son, and Grandson. And that is what God wants us to do. That is the plan of God for this heart. But the problem happened. Let's keep going. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1 verse 26. And the Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the all earth, over all the creature that move among the ground. So what happened? What God wants to do, God wants to replicate what is going on in heaven on earth. God wants to bring his kingdom from heaven and bring it on earth and replicate the same thing that we experience in heaven that we can experience it on earth. Yes. And that's why God decided to what? To form what is called Eden. And the Bible says God make man in his world, in his own world, image and what and likeness. So let me tell you, you are not just ordinary person. You have a purpose. You are created for a purpose. Yes. You are created what? In the image of God, and your what? You are created what? In the likeness of God. That is who you are. And that is the definition of a father. You know, I checked through the dictionary, I searched on the internet. A lot of people gave different information about, you know, who was a father. Let me give you an example. The Webster dictionary. It said, a father is a what? A title of a respected chief or rulers. That's one definition of a father. One says, a father is a, you know, sperm donor. The same dictionary. Another say, a father is an author or a beginner of anything. Another say, a father is applied as God. The same dictionary relate a father to what? To God. And that dictionary says, this one is very, very funny. Urban Dictionary said, a father is the person who criticizes everything I do. Never admit he is wrong in front of me. He cares about me, but never admit it. is the Oman Bank. You get what I'm saying? And that channel said, a father is a male parent, a priest, a person who was in someone's family in the past time. So let's look at the way people have defined fathers. But what is the definition of a father in the Bible? The definition of a Bible in the father, of a Bible, a father in the Bible, we can see it in the scriptures. God wants what? Make us in his word, in his own image and his own word, likeness. So we are supposed to be what? God on heart, representing God here on heart. So if what you are doing, you are not representing God, that means that you are not fulfilling your role as a father. You are not what? Fulfilling your role as a what? As a father. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. So God would know the reason why God created us. Why? Because he wants us to have his own what? His own image and his own likeness. So he wants us to have his own character. He wants us to have the Zoe of God, the life of God in us. And we can see from the Bible, in the Old Testament, we have God that shows as the Father. In the New Testament, we have God that shows as the what? As the Son, Jesus Christ, that came to die for us because of the mistake that happened in the Garden of Eden. But in our dispensation, we have God that come, you know, in relating to us as the what? As the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit. And this month, we are talking about what? Holy Spirit power. So for you to accomplish what God has called you to do in life, you cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we normally say this when I was growing up, and I was still saying, we said, the grace of the Lord, our Father, and what? The fellowship of the Word of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to live every day relating with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is supposed to be your best friend ever in life. So God has a plan, God has a purpose. But to every plan and purpose of God, there is always a what? A plan and purpose of the enemy too. The Bible says the enemy came to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So let me tell you, every father in the house, whatever God has called you to do, the enemy will come. And he has three purposes. Number one, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Steal it, kill it, and what? And destroy it. So if you are not sensitive as a father, you will lose your opportunity. You start blaming your mother, you start blaming your father, you start blaming your wife, or you start blaming your kids. And you're wrong. You are what? We are wrong. What I'm telling you applies to me also. But I want us to just sit down as a father and just look at, what are we doing? Who are you? Because when you know who you are, you know how to behave. The Bible says, where there is the word of a king, there is power. Because you know who you are. You can say the son of the president, she can't act anyhow. Because she is conscious of his word, of identity. So if unbeliever can be conscious of their identity, if, you know, rich person can be conscious of their identity, just some people beating people up. You don't know the son of who I am? Because they are conscious of who their father. You don't know me. You don't know my name. Because they are conscious of their identity. As a father, do you know who you are? Because whether you like it or not, the enemy will come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You can't run away from it. It's going to happen. But when you don't know your identity, when you don't know your purpose, when you don't know why you have been created, you know, you'll start blaming somebody. You start blaming somebody. So let's look at what happened in the beginning. God created what? Adam, you know, and the purpose of God created, you know, God created man in his own image. And the what? In his own likeness. That is our purpose. Then let's go for that. God did something that is very, very funny. Let's go to 27 and 28. 27, 28. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the heart and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all over every living creature that what? That moves on the ground. We have another what? Another reason. This is another purpose that God gave us. So right now, God made us in his world, in his own likeness, in his own image. So you're not just ordinary person. You are created in the world in the likeness and the image of God. Why? Because God wanted to do something for him. The first assignment that we got to give us was the one to do what? To what? To fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. Why? Both spiritual and physical, in every aspect of your life, God wanted to be fruitful. What do you mean by fruitfulness? God wanted to replicate the same image, the same likeness that he has given to you to replicate it everywhere you find yourself. That is the purpose where you are created. God wants you as the Father to replicate that image in your child, in your children, in your family, in your home. And not your, only your home. Everything that you have dominion over. So the first plan of God for us is to what? To what? To be fruitful in everything you find yourself. Because you can't be fruitful if you don't know who you are. You can't be what? Be fruitful if you don't what? If you don't know who you are. Every farmer that goes to the farm to plant is what? They are expecting something. You don't see any farmer that goes to the farm and just plant rice and say, okay, I just want to come and waste my seed. No. You cannot afford to waste your seed. You cannot afford to waste your resources. God gave you that resource for a purpose. God gave you for a what? For a purpose. So number one is that you are created in God's image and God's likeness. And number two, for what reason? Number one, to be fruitful. So that same likeness, that same image of God that you have in you, so you can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the beginning, we can see that all these things that happen, the whole creation happened by what? By the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 2, that the Spirit of God, what? Move upon the surface of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? That was light. So for us to accomplish what God wanted to achieve, we must walk in line with the Holy Spirit. We must allow the Holy Spirit to walk in us, through us, and with us. And as we speak, things begin to happen. Things will begin to happen. Number one, being fruitful. And when you are fruitful, God wants what? To multiply that fruitfulness. A lot of time, we are fruitful, but we don't multiply that fruitfulness. A lot of time, what? We are fruitful, but we don't multiply it. God does not want you to just, okay, I want to be fruitful, I have this business. Then, you're not thinking of next generation. You're not thinking of the future. You're not thinking of what is going to happen next. We talk about a lot of people today. We talk about their legacy because they can see into the future. We talk about the mother of John Wesley. We're talking about Tony Evans. His father was a dropout, no college education. But look at what the son is today. Because a man with no college education, a dropout, you know, high school guy, connected to God, connected to the Holy Spirit, his life was transformed and he laid a legacy. He showed the children, he showed all his children the plan of God. And he trained them in that way and so that what they've become today. And his grandchildren, and that's what the Bible says. God of what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says, no, the Bible does not say God of Isaac, God of Abraham. But what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So every time, transgeneration. So every time you think of anything that you're doing, you need to what? Think what? Transgeneration. Yes. Trans what? Transgeneration. When you are fruitful, when you talk about what does it mean to be fruitful? God wants to be fruitful, number one, in your relationship with God. It's the most important thing in life. Your what? Your relationship with God. The reason why we have crisis in our home today is because the father is not connected to God. So that's why we have a what? We have a problem in the house. When the father is not connected to God, when God is not your head, who are you going to lead? We have headless fathers, headless home. We just a figurehead father, just walking around. We can't live without following God. So the purpose of God is to create us in his own image and likeness. And so our children can see it and they can live the same way. And when they live, that means that, you know, we are fruitful. Your business, you are fruitful in your business. And it can what? It can be multiplied. You can replicate that business. That's why you see the evangelical today. You know, we go to Willow Creek every year for GLS. And everything they are doing is replicated all over the world. They were fruitful in doing what? Doing Global Leadership Summit. But now it's doing what? Multiply. You can sit down here in Chicago, sit down here in Nigeria, and you're walking the same thing live. And you can see the same people living that principle. So the goal of God upon your life, the plan of God for your life, is for you to what? To be created in God's image, discover who you are in Christ. I want you to discover who you are in Christ and what? Work on yourself. Work on yourself. Pray, you know, cite the scriptures and ask God to give you direction. And the next thing, though, you are fruitful. And when you are fruitful, what happens to your fruitfulness? You multiply that fruitfulness. You multiply it. You multiply it in your child. You multiply it in everybody that comes around you. And what happened to the next generation? Once they multiply, what happened? They what? They replenish the heart. First level is what? Level of what? Fruitfulness. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fruitfulness. Then it was, you multiply it. And once you multiply, you become a what? It replenish. And that's why you can have generation upon generation upon generation upon generation, and everything is following the same way. And why did God want us to do something like that? Because God wanted us to take dominion. And rule over it. The first level is what? It's being fruitful. The second level is what? Multiply. And third one is what? You replenish that multiplication. If you have a business in Chicago, you multiply that businesses all over that business world, everywhere. You have it in Nigeria, all over the world. And what happened? The business now become what? Replenish everywhere. Everybody can do it. It become transgenerational business. And even after you've gone, the business world is taking what? Dominion. Because like the system and structure that has been put in place. You have put the word, a system and structure in place. And that is the purpose of a father. I'm just going, let me go and tell you the story. So this is what happened. And let's see, how can this thing, what really happened? What makes this process, you know, to be the process we're talking about? In the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible talks about that God built upon man, and man become a what? A living soul. Why? Why are we talking about what? The bread of God. Why are we talking about what? The bread of God. Verse 28. Let's go to 28 again. Genesis 1, 28. Genesis 1, verse 28. So we see what God is talking about in this place. We want us to multiply. But Genesis chapter 2 talks about God what? Breathing upon man, and man becoming what? A living soul. Let's go to verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We see the process why God had to take us through that, you know, that stages. By the way, and the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril, breathed to his nostril the bread of life, and man became a what? A living soul. So you are not a dead person, you are a living person that taking what? The bread of God. The bread of God is in you, and that bread of God is what? Is the Holy Spirit. But most of us, as what, have disconnected from it. That's why we have chaos in our family. We have chaos in our home. Father wake up in the morning, no devotion with the family, just go out. Father doesn't even pray. So how do you want the children to pray? What legacy are you leaving behind? Because everything that you do has a way of replicating itself. If you look into the Bible, I can tell you stories upon story. Abraham took his wife, Sarah. He took him to King Abimelech, and the king was like, I love this lady. What happened? This lady is pretty. He said, don't worry, she's my sister. And what happened to the king? The king married her. But thank God for God, Abraham lied. Isaac did the same thing in the same place. Isaac took, you know, his wife to Rebekah to the place. And what happened to him? He did the same thing. So anything that you do has the way of what? Replicating itself. So that's why you cannot, you know, is what is the ripple effect. So that you cannot afford to live your life anyhow. You cannot afford to be beating up your wife, accusing your wife, or saying things anyhow. Or you're gonna afford to be sowing wrong seed into your life. Because that seed can affect you as a person. That seed can what? Can affect you. It's a transgenerational seed. Something happened to me. I was sharing with my son. And I went to church to go and preach. When I was very, very young, you know, I don't know whether it's a cause or something, like, I don't know. But when I was very, very young, I liked to destroy stuff. I'll be hungry. I'll just take one something, I'll just break it. So when I became, I started praying, like, God, this thing will not happen in the life of my son. And my son started doing the same thing. It's not funny. It's a serious issue. a lot of time, what we do to people, we don't want people to do to us back. You know, most of my daddy's stuff, you know, I broke a lot of stuff. I remember that one story that still stuck with me. That day, I don't know, they call it, it's what they call it, a wardrobe. And you know, back in Nigeria, they have all this big wardrobe that is a glass and they put all the sliverware inside it. And the funniest thing I did, you know, I climbed this sliverware. I climbed this wardrobe. And do you know what happened? The old wardrobe fell on me. My daddy ran, put his leg there, and the glass caught my dad's leg and blood was gushing out. And do you know what he did? He carried me, protected me. That is the kind of father God wants us to be. That is who God is to us. And that's what God wants to be to our children. And that day, my dad didn't even touch me at all. I was like, man, only me there, you are in problem. But my dad did not do anything. So when I saw my son doing the same, sometimes I would do it, I was just like, Holy Spirit. I was just like, it's just you. That's one aspect of it. When I was in secondary school, I was brilliant. First all over in the school. And when I saw my son doing the same thing, I was very, very happy. So where there is a positive effect, there is a what? A negative effect. So as a father, you must be careful what you are doing, what you are saying, the way you live your life. Because your children will not do what you ask them to do. They will do what they see you doing. So let's continue looking into it. Man becoming what? A living soul. And when we become a living soul, what happened? It was a what? A process. God wants to multiply everything and take dominion. But something happened that was very, very funny. God created Adam and what? Gave Adam, verse 2. God what? God created Adam and gave Adam a what? A very major important task to do. So that means you have a purpose. You have a what? A purpose. What is the task that God gave Adam in the Garden of Eden? Let's look at it. Number one. Can you go to verse 15? Let's look at what happened. We already know the why. Why we are created. To multiply, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the heart. And that's the one that God created in his own image. We have the bread of God in us. For what reason? So I'm going to, once we know that was being established, I'm going to show you an example in the Bible, what God created. God created Adam in the Garden of Eden. And look at what happened. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of what? Of Eden to work it and what? And take care of it. The reason why you are created, I was created is what? What? To work the garden and what? And take care of it. And that scripture said, to what? To dress. And to what? To keep and to dress. So every father, one of your job is to what? Is to keep. And to what? And to dress. Don't take it in another way. The first thing God gives us to what? To dress it and what? And to keep it. A lot of us, we don't want to dress, but we want to keep. And we are doing what? Vice versa. You can't keep without dressing. So the first commandment of this is what? To dress. God wanted to dress your wife. When you want to dress somebody, let me tell you, that person is not perfect. When you want to dress your child, they are not perfect. They're going to come to you naked. God wanted to what? To dress them. Their mistake is your mistake. Their problem is your what? Is your problem. As a father, God gave us two major commandments. To dress the garden and to keep the garden. God does not want you to keep the garden and just dress it. No. But what we are doing nowadays, we are keeping the garden. You have what? Dressing the garden. We are what? We are keeping it. What? Dressing the garden. God wants you and I to what? To dress the garden. And the process of dressing takes a lot of stuff. You have a wound to dress. You have a pain to dress. The last thing you're going to dress, you're going to say, this clothes is not good. Why can't you wear this combination? This one is not good. Why can't you do this thing? This thing is not good. As a father, you wake up in the morning. How do I dress my family? How do I dress my family spiritually? How do I dress my family financially? How do I dress my family academically? God has called us, the father, to dress our family. And the process of dressing is not just easy. It's going to take everything that you have. and you cannot dress without the word, the Spirit of God in you. We have a lot of father that is dressing without the word, the Spirit of God. That's why we have color riots in the church. We have color riot what? In the community. Color riot what? In the community, because we are not dressing according to pattern. God has called every one of us to what? To dress according to his pattern. And that pattern can only be taken from what? From the Spirit of God. As a father, you must what? You must spend time in the presence of God. You know what? Spend time in the what? In the presence of God. It's very, 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 very important. You must take time to spend time in the presence of God. It takes time. You have to fast, have to pray, have to endure. Sometimes your kids will do something that you don't like. Sometimes they will step on your toes. Sometimes they will do something that is very, very annoying. But don't forget that the meaning of father is what? Is responsibility. The definition of father in the Bible is what? Responsibility. If you are a father in the house, are you responsible? What are you responsible for? What am I responsible for? What are you responsible for? Are you dressing your home? Are you dressing your life? Because the problem is that you can't even dress somebody if you have not even dressed yourself. If you have not dressed yourself, how are you going to dress somebody else? The problem we have in the house is that you cannot even dress yourself and you want to dress somebody. You cannot give what you don't have. What do you have? What do you have? That's why we have problem in the community. We have problem in churches all over. Because everything starts from home. And that is the first nature God created. And God has a better plan for us. We have the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit is a vital part, vital organ in any home, in any life. Holy Spirit is one of the greatest assets that we have as the Father. We cannot do anything without the Spirit of God. And that is why your best companion, your best friend after your wife is what? It's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the fourth, then your wife. Is the fourth, then your wife. So let's cut out the crowd. And let's go back to the basics. As fathers. I know we're trying. I know we are doing what God is asking us to do. But let me tell you, we all have failed. We all have failed. If God is going to act, God's going to judge us from 1 to 10. I know my level. And I'm going to be 2 out of 10. And we need to be sincere with ourselves. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. There are two people you cannot deceive. You cannot deceive God. You cannot deceive devil. And you cannot deceive yourself. You can deceive me. By the end of the day, you're going to be the one to carry your own problem. But you're going to carry your cross daily. So let's stop, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. And let's stop wearing masks. A lot of times we come to church and we wear masks. You pretend to be somebody that you're not. It's that time we go back to the basis of, you know, foundation of the family, and get it right. Let's go back to under God. I am sorry. I've messed up this way. It's high time we are honest with ourselves and go back to the basis. And God is always there to take care of us. In running up, let me just show you what happened in the garden. God gave Adam to what? To dress and to keep. So the reason why God gave you that wife, that gave you that, you know, that child or that children, even that gave you that job, that purpose. First of all, you look at it, garden first. God gave Adam the what? The garden. The purpose. You have a purpose. God created with a purpose. Once you know you are the father, then God gave you a what? A garden to till, to dress and to keep. You dress for, then you what? You keep. How do you keep? When you have a cloth, you wash your clothes, is that what happened? You go and what? And wash the cloth and wear it again. When your clothes is torn, what happened to it? You what? You go and what? Amend it. And that is why your purpose in life, let me tell you, you're going to face through a lot of stuff. To dread and to keep. And in keeping, it takes a lot of work to keep stuff. When you plant a farm, when you plant a tree or you plant a seed, you're going to keep it. There's going to be a time of work, of tilling, of weeding, of wetting, of putting fertilizer. It's a lot of work. So you want to dress and to keep. And let's look at what happened. Let's go. Let's go to verse 3 and let's see what happened. Verse 3. 3 verse 1. If I'm right. Genesis 1, chapter 3 verse 1. Let's see what happened. Now the serpent was more crafty than what any wild animal the Lord has made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The Bible said, then what? Come to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. The purpose God has given you, the enemy will come to steal it, to kill it, and to destroy it. Your home, your children. Look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. God created what? A perfect foundation for us. But look at what the serpent did. He came to do what? To destroy it. So question number one. Let's just keep reading. Genesis chapter 2, 16. God talk, give all the condition. Number one is just do what? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. God said that, number one, from the tree of Garden of Eden. Let's go back to. And the Lord said, you are free to what? To eat from any tree in the garden. 17. But you must not eat from what? The tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. So God gave them a condition. Your purpose that God has given to you, that the condition attached to that purpose. That the word condition attached to that purpose God gave you. Number one, I have a word, this tree. Don't eat from it. The day you eat from it, you will surely die. Knowledge of what? Good and evil. Why? Condition number one that God gave us. Good or what? Good and evil. And condition number two. Let's go to condition number two. Verse 18. And the Bible said, God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a what? Helper suitable for him. So first condition, after God has given you a garden, and you have been dressing, and you have been what? Keeping the garden. What happened? God gave you a condition that even this thing that I've given to you, don't let it get to your brain. Don't be carried away. In the first place, I'm the one that gave you. So be careful. Be what? Be really, really careful. Don't take knowledge of what? Good and evil. Don't even mess around with it. So my question, I want to ask you, if you look at it, God already told Adam, don't do this. And God gave Adam a what? A wife. And when the devil came, serpent came to test the wife. My question number one is that, where is Adam? When the serpent was tempting him, was tempting her. Where is Adam? It's supposed to be what? Dressing and keeping. But wasn't there. Some of us as father in the house, we've lost our identity. We lost the job. We are careless of what God has given to us. You know, let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 6. What happened? The serpent came to to Eve. Eve, what is going on with you? You know, this tree is good. The God said you should not eat it. And said, yeah, we should. Let's be quick. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden. That shows that, it's the father, he did a good job telling him this and this and this. Go ahead. But God did say, you must not eat from the what? The tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. Go ahead. Let's go. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God and knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for the food and pleasing to his eyes. To the eyes, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate, and she also what? Gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. It was there. Do you see that? The husband was what? Was there. So let me tell you, everything God has given to you in life, the enemy will come. But God gave us a purpose to dress and to keep. So how are you dressing? How are you keeping? The Bible says, we know the truth and the word. The knowledge of that truth will set us free. Sarah knew the truth. Sorry, Eve knew the truth. But what happened? The truth could not what? Set her free. So how are you dressing your garden? Are you keeping your garden? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you cannot dress and you cannot keep. And let me tell you, fathers, that sometimes you have to put your step down that you cannot do this. Ask my daughter. She will tell you, before she goes out in the house, I must see what you're wearing. You cannot wear this. Get out. I'll tell her, Angel, you can't wear it. Go back. Wear another one. Let me see. How are you keeping? How are you dressing your garden? We are living in a generation that, you know, the things that are wrong, they make it right. And the right things have become wrong. So what is wrong? Everybody believes it's right. That vision we are living in right now. What is wrong has become right. Even in the church. And what is right has become wrong. What is that? What is wrong with you? Are you not a Christian? I mean, when we are growing up, that's something you cannot even do. You cannot even do it. But now, a lot of crap going on around. You see people, they tell you, you know, they are in relationship and they are sleeping together. And they are not married. The Bible says what? The Bible talks about what? Keep the bed. Marriage is honorable and what? And bed on the fire. But we have a lot of defiled bed even before marriage. We have people that come and lift up holy hands in the church. They finish watching pornography and they come and say praise and worship. You see people coming to church and come and walk in the church. There is no order anymore. There is no honor anymore. There is no dignity anymore in the church. If going to those been the days, in the day of Ananias and Sapphira, you know, when they lie, immediately by the word, they fell down and died. It was their property. They sold the land. And they said, Father, you know, they just told the apostle, this is our month. You know, we sold the land. The land belonged to them in the first place. Just ordinary land. It belonged to them in the first place. Said, we sold the land for so amount of money. Are you sure? He said, yes. The husband fell and died. He fell and died. The wife came also too. See the way you dress and keep the garden. The wife came. Yes, that's the same pride. The prophet said, the apostle was telling her that the same guy that took your husband, they're going to come and take you. She fell and died. So ask yourself, how are you keeping and how are you dressing your garden? Look at what happened. Adam was there throughout the whole story. Because he was keeping anyhow. He was dressing anyhow. That's why we have casualty in the house. That's why we have broken marriages. That's why we have, you know, single mothers. That's why we have single fathers. We have everything because people are not taking responsibility anymore. No more responsibility anymore in the church. No more anymore everywhere. But that the remnant God is keeping.
Yes. Yes.
And I believe we are part of that remnant.
Yes.
God is bringing that order into the church.
Yes.
And you and I are going to bring that order back to the church.
Yes.
It doesn't matter the mistake I've made. I know the Bible says, if we confess our sin, his word is faithful and just to forgive and to clean of every unrighteousness. It's there. The Bible says, even though I fall, you know, 7 times, I'm still going to rise up again. It's not a problem in falling. The problem is that sitting down where you fell.
Yes.
I'm not scared of falling. Because I know if I fall, I have a God I can go to and say, God, sorry, I messed up. Please have mercy upon me.
Yes.
Admit my problem. Admit my fault. And seek help.
Yes.
And move forward. And that's why we have what? The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's always good as a family to be accountable. Fathers, let's be accountable. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. accountability partners. Who are you accountable to? Of the Father. Who do you submit to? Of the Father. I told my wife, if I'm misbehaving, call daddy and mommy. Because I have a tendency to misbehave. It's serious. We all have a tendency to misbehave. I told my wife, if I'm doing this and I'm not listening to you, you have a dire place, call daddy and mommy in Milwaukee. Call them. Call Pastor Lang, call Pastor Omar. Because we live in an age that if you're not accountable to somebody, you misbehave.
Yes, yes, yes.
You what? You misbehave. And look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve. Adam did not drift and keep his garden the right way. So he led his wife in the wrong way. And look at what happened in verse 8 and 9. What happened? Look at what God's reaction. God came. God always comes to them because they're what? Accountability partner. God came in the cool of the day. Verse 8. Then the man and his wife had the son of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hide from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man, where are you? They are accountable to God every day. Bible says, when they ate the food, their eyes become what? Opened. And let me tell you, all this temptation that you are running after, after you finish doing what happened, your eyes become open. It's just the pressure for a moment. Pressure for a moment. What are you using to reward? A pressure for a moment that can destroy your destiny and destroy your life and destroy generations to come.
Yes.
The reason why the devil attacks you is not because of you. It's because of what? That transitional assignment God has given to you. When the devil destroys your home, you are not the major problem. He has already won the battle already, destroying your home. So you're not his target. His target is your what? Your children and your grandchildren. But you know that God has a plan and purpose for you. And so when the devil attacks your home, he's not even dealing with you. He's attacking your what? Your children and great grandchildren because of the legacy. So let's rise up and start from the basics and go to God and say, God, no, we are sorry. Look at what happened to Adam. God asked him, where are you? God did not ask Eve. God knew what happened. God is not going to ask you what happened in your home. You are responsible for your home. Fathers, you are responsible. If you're a leader in a group, you are responsible for that group. It's not your team that is responsible. It's you that God is going to call. If you are called to lead a cell group, you are called to lead a team. If anything happens to that team, God is not going to ask the team member. God is going to ask you. You are the leader. Look at what God did. God knew what happened. He knew what happened, particularly between serpent and Eve. But what did God ask? Adam, where are you? And we know, human being, we like blaming somebody. It's my wife. When there's problem, is my wife. When there's problem, is my dad. When there's problem, is my hand. When there's problem, is my sister. When there's job, is my job. We learn to blame a lot of things. But let's stop it and just be responsible. God has called us to a life that is full of destiny, a life that is full of glory and powerful, a life of destiny, a life of increase. God wants to multiply himself through you and I. And we have his nature in us. We have the word, the nature of God in us. He created you in his own image, in his own likeness. You are special. You're wonderfully made. Know who you are, the Father. My challenge to you, Father, today is like, you need to go back to the, let's go back to the basics.
Yes.
And go and what? Connect to your source. And discover you. I'm going to discover me. Go and discover who you are. Discover you. Discover yourself. And even though you've done something that is wrong, just go back to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I messed up. And the Bible says, God is the God of second chance. We always forgive us. Look at what happened in the Garden of Eden. God forgave them. He sent them out of the garden. But you know what God did? God killed an animal. Representing what? Jesus Christ coming to die for us. And he clothed them with animal skin. They were clothing themselves what? With the leaf skin. But what? God clothed them what? With animal skin. So God is here. God is calling out to Father this morning. It doesn't matter where you have gone wrong. It doesn't matter what you have made. God is a loving God.
Yes.
The Bible says, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son. He loved you, he loved me, he gave everything that he has. Everything I had. My challenge to you this morning, fathers. I'm sorry, mothers, I'm not talking to you, but you're part of it. One thing I've realized is that at the end of the whole thing, do you know what happened? It's very, very interesting. In conclusion, every man's destination is what? Is every woman's desire. Every man's destination is what? Is every woman what? Every woman's desire. If your husband is good, your home is good and you're good. So I want to challenge you this morning, all the fathers, I'm begging you, I beseech you, like Romans 12 once said, I beseech you by the means of God, that you present your body unto God the word of living sacrifice. I want all the fathers to just stand up right now. All the fathers to stand up. And let's just go and just repent before God. What I'm saying, you know, when God was speaking to me overnight, I was crying. Because I'm a victim also. Let's go and let's just go and just repent. God, have mercy upon me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I know you have a purpose for me. You have a destiny for me. You have a future for me. You have a growth for me. And that my future is bright because I know who I am. I am yours because I'm yours. I can do anything other with God. All things are possible. So I want all the father now this morning to just go before him and just repent. Just go and just repent. Just go before God this morning and just repent. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for letting you down. I'm sorry for not leading my home I love to lead. I'm sorry for not leading my business the way I love to lead my business. I'm sorry for not leading the department I give you to me. Just let you go and just ask God for mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let's just go and ask for mercy this morning. Let's ask for God's mercy this morning. Let's ask for his mercy. Let's say, God, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I come before you this morning. Lord, I cry for your mercy. I know I've short of your glory. Lord, I know I've messed up in raising my children. I've messed up in dressing my wife. I've messed up in keeping my home. But Lord, I come before you this morning. I ask for your mercy, oh God. You said in your word, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just. Lord, I come before you, God, today. I confess my sin, oh God, of every unrighteousness, of lying in any form, of stealing in any form, of not performing as I ought to perform, of not doing my work, of not dressing and not keeping your garden. Lord, I come before you this morning. I cry for your mercy, Lord. I ask, oh God, I come before you with a humble heart. I ask for your mercy. Lord, I confess my sin and I plead about to cleanse and to purge me. And to make me whole. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.